in the morning when I lay my head to rest. I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed. Oh, every day that I live, oh, I
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. And I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, yes, he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. And I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, yes, he has made me glad. Courts with praise, and I will say, this is the day.
appreciate the Lord and His Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonderful. It's good to be home. I've been on the road working. And, of course, I made it for church this weekend, but I got all the way back down to the Shreveport area yesterday morning, realized I didn't quite have enough material. They didn't send me quite enough, or I actually put it on a little too thick and knew I had some more sitting in my shop, so I came all the way back home last night and left again this morning and came back and got home in time to get ready for church. And me and Brother Joel said we got to get back to the church to praise God tonight. Hallelujah. Said I need to praise Him. I need to worship God. I need to feel Him. And we got my brother with me, working with my brother and the Lord. And a good young person that serves the Lord with all of his heart. But to know come and I knew Brother Bud was going to be here. I had to get back. I'm glad to have Brother and Sister Bud tonight. Yeah. And kind of a reminder, he called me today and want some directions, and I was thinking Brother Brett was the guy he should have been calling. I still ain't got myself. Well, I know you go this exit, but I don't remember what road it's on. And hadn't got all these street names figured out just yet. It's like I can't remember where Academy Sports was over on the west side. I think it was on Markham or Cantrell. I couldn't Markham. It's on Markham. See, I didn't know. Well, I said, put it in your GPS. I mean, surely it'll take you over there. And but it was a reminder. Yes, he's going to be here tonight. And so I know we want to. He's always got something good to give us, and I want to hear from Brother Bud. And but we also want to make our request known before the Lord tonight. We've got many, many needs. I've been praying a different way. Been asking the Lord to show me how to pray. As I'm praying, Lord, would you reveal your... I'm asking you for your will in these situations. Not because the Bible says you've asked according to my will. Well, if I don't... I want to know, Lord, what is your will? And I can ask, and then they came to Jesus and they said, your mother and your brothers are waiting for you. And he said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? But he that doeth the will of the Father. And so I want to know what the Lord's will is. I want to ask him for what his will is. You know, Jesus put... He went into he was baptized by John, and a voice came out of heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And he knew, you know, I believe he knew who he was. He was the Messiah. He goes into the wilderness, and after 40 days and nights, he's starving. He don't have nothing to eat. He knows he's going to perish if I don't get something to eat. And how can I perish if I'm supposed to save the world? I better turn these stones into bread. But he couldn't even do that without knowing what the will of the Father was. He said, man don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out the mouth of God. So I want to start searching for God's will. the Lord's been dealing with me about fasting. And I used to believe that if I fasted, I could somehow bend the will of God. Get him, you know, he would, because I gave up food, he would do what I asked him to do. And, crucify the flesh, and then God would do what I ask. And I've had some experiences lately, and one of them was in Dallas. But the felt like the Lord spoke to me and says, you can't bend my will by fasting, but I will reveal my will to you if you fast. I will reveal it to you. I'll let you so you'll know how to pray. And I had an experience in Dallas I'm gonna share with you, and then I hope it wasn't just me, but the Spirit fell in the Dallas youth service. I believe Sebastopol and Nacogdoches were there. I hope they had a Gary Fort. Something came over me in that service, and I was going up to people. God would impress on me to say things. I didn't have any idea what I was talking about. There's one thing I do remember is I told Donovan, the Lord wants to give you the Holy Ghost. Do you remember that? I thought he was going to get it that night, but lo and behold, he got it the next night here. The Lord impressed on me so strong to tell him he was going to give him the Holy Ghost, that he was going to receive it. All he had to do was receive it. And there were some other things that came on me. And it wasn't, thou, the Lord has come upon me to tell you, you know, that you shall be blessed among all the saints. No, it was specific things that God told me to tell people. And it was just a few instances. And one person that he laid it on my heart, I didn't really know this person that well. I knew who it was. And I thought, Lord, is this really you? I started to doubt. Is this you really telling me to tell these people things? Because I got a mind that kind of can, I'm like my mom or ADD. And in her case, ADHD. But, I kept focusing on this certain person, and the Lord, and I felt impressed to tell her, I'm dealing with you. The Lord said, well, Lord, what do you want me to tell her? I know there's something you're wanting to say. He says, I'm dealing with that young lady, and I want you to tell her to believe. And so I said, okay, this has been good working so far, so I'm going to do it. So I went down and sat down by her, and I said, sister, and I'm going to do it a little different this time. I'm going to ask her. I said, is the Lord dealing with you? She said, yeah, he is. I said, what's he dealing with you about? He says, well, I've struggled even to know whether all this is really real or not. Of course, I just got touched because I said, well, I was standing over there at the pulpit, and I kept focusing, and I felt the Lord told me to tell you, this is one word, is to believe. And it touched her heart, and it was nothing in me. It was just some things that were coming on me. And so I went home that night, and I thought, what happened tonight? What happened tonight? I was laying in bed, what happened? And I feel like, and Bro Smith, you can correct me if I'm wrong in this, but I felt like the Lord, a scripture was impressed upon me. The scripture in Corinthians it says, I would that you all speak in tongues, but rather you prophesy. Rather you prophesy. And I go, well, what's prophecy, Lord? And I felt the answer come on me, but to reveal my will. To reveal my will is to prophesy. And at least partially, I know it is to give the plan of God, to give forth, but and I believe in some instances to reveal the will of the Lord. I know the prophets went to the kings, would tell them it is God's will to go to the battle, or and so the prophets would reveal the will of the Lord to the kings. But that was an impression that came upon me, and I thought I would share it with y'all, with some of the things the Lord is dealing with me about. So as we, I wanted to get up and share that with you as we take our requests before the Lord, things that we have needs for, and our people that are sick, and we have other needs. So at this time, we'll accept your request. Let's pray for Sister Gail. She hasn't passed those stones yet. Dear Lord, that's some request. Ask the Lord to give them grace and touch them. Sister Fisher. Let's pray for all these needs. Brother Brandon. Okay. Okay, let's pray for them. Sister Oates. Brother Fisher. Feet for a little bit. Sister Rice requested prayer. Brother and Sister Crow, yes. Is she home?
Yes, she's home.
Good. She's very resilient. Brother Spencer. Wow, okay. What's his name? Drew. Let's pray for Drew, who has the swine flu. Sister Abraham, you're hiding back there. I can't see you. Unspoken request. Okay. And we also want to, Sister McGowan. We keep praying for Sister Leanna as well. And we want to receive Wednesday night offering as well tonight. We have a meeting coming up this weekend.
Remember the convention center meeting, yes. Starts Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
The Lord would bless the body of Christ and that many hearts would be touched and many good things put forth and received by the saints that attend the meeting. Okay, let us stand. Take our request before the Lord. Heavenly Father, you're our Lord, Lord, Lord. We ask you tonight, Lord, Lord, to help us with these needs. Lord, give us grace to go through these trials, O God. Deliver us, O Lord. from sickness and these elder sisters, Lord, these job situations and these tests, Lord. Brother Stan that's going through these tests, Lord. Lord, we ask you to give him grace and help him and heal him, Lord. I repress. He's my brother, oh God. I hate to see him suffer, Lord. We know you love him more than we could ever love him, oh God. Oh, Father in heaven, Lord. Oh, dear, touch Brother Daniels. Oh, God, at his home. Oh, God, help the Brother Brian, help the Goldens, Lord. Get them safely back on the road. Oh, God. Touch Sister Karen. She goes in the surgery. Guide the surgeon's hands. Oh, God, Sister Rice, Lord, you're in need, Lord. And all these elderly sisters. Help us, oh, God, dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Dear Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you in our life, oh God, dear Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We give you thanks for all the good things you've done and you're doing. Hallelujah. Your mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Some prayers and felt they never were heard. But I held to God's hand and kept right on trusting in His Word. My once and God's desires don't always agree. But I lean on His will, for He always knows what's best for me. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed to meet my need. My strong tower, the strength in my weakest hour. I can trust Jesus. He takes care of me. Picked up a sparrow that could no longer fly. He brushed off its wounds and then watched it soar into the sky. life he's mindful of creation. On this I can depend. I am his child, and I can place all my trust in him. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed to meet my needs. He is my strong tower, the strength in my weakest I can trust Jesus. He takes care of me. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed to meet my needs. He is my strong tower, the strength in my weakest hour. I can trust Jesus. He takes care of me. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed to meet my needs. He is my strong tower, the strength in my weakest hour. Prayed some prayers and felt they never were heard. But I held to God's hand and kept right on trusting in His Word. My wants and God's desires don't always agree, but I lean on His will, for He always knows what's best for me. I can trust Jesus. I can trust. to meet my needs.
Yes,
He is my strong tower, the strength in my weakest hour. I can trust Jesus. He takes care of me.
Oh, yes.
I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed to meet my need.
And
He is my strong tower, the strength in my weakest I can trust Jesus.
Yes.
He takes care of me.
It's not on.
Yeah, it's on.
No, it's not on.
Oh.
Maybe I was supposed to turn that on too. It was on dummy, so it. Praise God. Good to be back in Little Rock with all of you and Brother and Sister Smith, and had good fellowship today. And Sister Smith told me to keep it short, so I'm do all I can to keep it short. We're been enjoying this spirit here tonight. I feel good here tonight. Praise God. This is a good place. Fact is, there's no place like this place anywhere around this place, so this must be the place. Praise God. And we had heard this story about this family, man and son and his wife went into town. They never been in town, been in a big city, so they went to visit this city, and his wife went in a store shopping, so they walked around a little and walked in this big building. They came up to these big metal doors. They were standing there wondering what they were when a little old lady, elderly lady, came up and pushed a button, and these metal doors opened. She walked in, turned around, looked at them, and the doors shut. They watched the lights go all the way up, and then a little bit, they came all the way back. The doors open, and out stepped this 21-year-old beautiful girl. And he said, "Son, go get your mother." Well, I don't know if you got anything like that around Little Rock, but yeah, make a lot of money, that's it. Yeah, we are changing, just not that way, huh? You know, the meeting this weekend at the convention center, and there's a lot of things going on, a lot of changes, and some big changes, and you know, all along in serving God, there's always been trouble. I mean, I always wondered about these people that are always talking about the good old days. They get up and they talk about years ago when God really blessed. You know, like that we weren't having trouble years ago. You know, I want to know, when was that happening? You know, and because as long as you got people, anytime you got people, you got trouble. And we've always had trouble. And we've always had to deal with it. God's people has always dealt with trouble. And that's why we need some kind of help and a boost. I know your youth meeting here was a great boost to people. They came home motivated, excited, and all along you just need an inoculation of something or another to help you through the next trouble that you're going to confront, and that's why the Word of God is so important. That's why that it's one of the reasons why we have church as much as we have, is because it takes a lot of time to get the Word of God planted in your heart. It doesn't take that long to get it intellectually, but getting it in your heart and getting it intellectually is two different things. There's people that can. In fact, I had a crazy woman. I mean, she was crazy. And you could just keep on spreading that on now. I mean, you know, but she could quote the Bible. I mean, she could quote the Bible. She knew more of the Bible than I did. And so, you know, just quoting the Bible and knowing the Bible and intellectually knowing the Bible. But to get the Bible in your heart, to get it to where you do right even when it hurts. Now that's when it's in your heart. You do the right thing just because it's the right thing to do. You go to church on Wednesday night just because it's the right thing to do. It don't have anything to do with you feel like it. I never understood these people, how they said, "Well, I don't feel like it." I mean, who in the world gets to live that kind of life that they only do what they feel like? Hello? Welcome to the real world. It ain't about what we feel like, is it? Yeah. And so we found out that as the older you get, that you have to do a lot of things that you don't feel like. And work. My grandson, I think he just turned 17. Or he's just fixing to turn 17. He's tall as I am. He's lean. And he was needing some money. And I said, "Well, what happened to your job?" I said, "Well, I thought you had a job." He said, "No, I quit." I said, "You quit?" He said, "Yeah, Papa." He said, "Do you know how hard it is to be a bag boy?" A bag boy at a supermarket. I said, Tony, you play football. Here's a football player saying, you know how hard it is to be a bag boy? I'm quitting. But the real world, he'll find out that you don't quit just because you don't like it or it's too much work. He'd like to find a job where they pay him just to go out and fish and hunt or something or another, you know. And so we need help. This is a battle. Let me tell you something. If you stay in this, it's a battle. It's a battle. I'd like to tell you that it's going to get easier, but it ain't. It ain't going to do it. You know, I wish I had some of those good, soothing words that tomorrow the sun is going to shine in your back door. Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're going to wake up tomorrow and find out you got more problems than you thought you had. But that's where the Word of God comes in. We've got to have these blessings. But when the blessing's over and you hit the pavement out there tomorrow when you go to work, you won't have that. You won't be feeling like speaking in tongues. You may be feeling like speaking in something else, but you won't. You're going to be facing reality and all the problematics of life. But the Word of God is what keeps us and puts a yearning down inside to want to be different, want to be like Christ. And to fall in love with Him. And so He enables us with the Word of God. In fact, in Ephesians, in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, and I'm going to try to speed this up just a little bit, Sister Smith, so I'm going to kick it up a notch. In the 6th chapter of Ephesians, you know, he's starting off this chapter with instructions. He's instructing them, and he's telling them how to obey your parents, and we all like to hear that his parents do, and obeying your father and so forth. And then he tells you how to hold down your jobs, how to work on your jobs. Servants, you employees, be good to your employers, and you employers, be good to your employees, and so forth, and don't serve with eye service. That, you know, when you see them coming, boy, you jump up and start hammering, you know, and then they turn the corner. I heard this preacher, he was on the radio, and I caught this preacher on the radio, and he was telling this story, how this man hired this man to do this work. So he took him out back, showed him what he wanted him to do, and he left. And he thought he'd sneak back later just to see how he's doing. So he snuck back later and looked around the corner, and the guy was leaned up against a tree with his shovel in his hand, and he's singing a little song. And it went like this. He think I'm working, but I ain't. And so the guy, you know, listened to him for a little bit, and he turned around, head back to his truck, and he started singing him a little song. He think I'm going to pay him, but I ain't. So that's the way a lot of people do with God. You know, they think, yeah, he think I'm working, but I ain't. So he's telling him, you don't work. When you go to work in the morning, you work like you're working for Jesus Christ, because you are. And if you're laying brick, you lay brick like you're laying this for Jesus Christ, because you are, because you belong to Him. And you're making that money. He told you to work and provide for your family and your church, and so you have an obligation. So in reality, all of us, regardless what we're doing, we're working for God. So then he gets through all that. Then he gets to the 10th verse. Now, the 10th verse is real interesting because it looks like by the time he gets to the 10th verse, he's kind of tired or acts like it. Because he said, I mean, this is a way I usually express myself when I get tired. Finally. Isn't that what we do? Finally. You know. Finally, my brethren, be strong. All right. Finally, be strong. God's looking for strong people. He can't build the kingdom of God with weak people. He's looking for strong men and women that'll stand. Now this chapter, I want you to get something. He's fixing to give you seven things in this chapter for your protection, armament, ability to go to war. Seven things. But the chapter in giving this armament of God, these seven things, is about being able to stand when things get tough. Now, anybody can stand in the good times and when it's peace, you know, when it's peacetime. And everybody's ready to stand. Everybody will say, well, I'll take the front. Let me have the front. Well, it's peacetime, sure. When I was in Vietnam, nobody was saying, hey, I'll walk point, you know, because they always shoot the point man first, you know, so nobody wanted point. You know, but we all had to take turns, and we dreaded, you know, hey, bud, it's your turn to walk point. And you go, oh, you know, because point guy, he's the guy that, you know, they booby trap the trails and stuff. So if anybody's going to get booby, you know, get blown up, it's the point man. And so, well, that's the time of war. But the time of peace, they say, hey, I'll take point. But this is teaching us how to stand in the day of trouble. So he's fixing to tell this, and he says, he starts us off, be strong. Finally, be strong. Then he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to do what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood and principalities, powers, and so forth, rulers, darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. But he said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Not in the good day, but in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. This is about standing. And I'm going to tell you, the reason why there's a church here in Little Rock today is because somebody stood. Somebody stood. You know, any church, especially an old church, has had a lot of trouble. I don't care what church it is. There isn't churches without trouble. I just want to tell you that. If you go visit a church and it seems like everybody is so happy and friendly and getting along and everybody's loved and thought of and forget about it. There ain't a place like that. You know, forget about it. They're just people, and they're putting on a good show for you. Yeah, because they want you to think everything here is super. And that's the way we ought to do it. That's the way you ought to do it. Then the people leave here and say, boy, I wish I was in Little Rock. Them people love one another. Their pastor sees about them. He's always calling them. Oh, yes, he's a pastor. I had one of my saints tell me that, by the way. I'm just kind of giving you a little what one of my saints, but it was another pastor somewhere. And she come home telling me, oh, Brother Bud, now he's a real pastor. Okay. And what am I? And so, you know, so it's trouble. But he said, having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girded with the truth. And so, now I just want to back up. I just want to, not necessarily digress, but talk a little bit about this standing, because this is the armor of God, and it's fixing to go into putting on these different things of armor. And And I want you to notice as you go through, as we go through these verses, that there's nothing for the back. It's everything out front. There's, you know, there's a shield, there's a sword, there's a helmet, there's breastplate, right? There's a loins girded with the truth. There's a being shot, but nothing for the back, because he's not given anything to protect you when you turn and run. This is about standing. It's not about running. You know, maybe there's another chapter on running, but this chapter is not on running. This chapter is standing your ground. Yeah, stand. Yeah, okay. So it's not about running. But in 2 Samuel 23, 8 through 12, now there's three guys here, especially one of them I want to talk about. But normally, nobody knows much about these guys. And I don't know what, you know, usually when you talk about great men in the Bible, we're talking about David and so forth and Gideon. And but I want you to get this in 2 Samuel 28. Here it's talking about, 23 rather. Here it's talking about the great men of David, the men of valor. And these men were men of integrity. And the first one that it mentions is Adonijah. And Adonijah, now, I'm talking about people that'll stand. Adonijah, it says, killed 800 people. Have you ever seen 800 people in one place? That's a lot of people. These are soldiers they're talking about. You know, he didn't go to a grammar school somewheres and kill 800 kids. These were soldiers out on a battlefield, 800 soldiers at one time with a sword. 800. And David made him his captain. Now that's the kind of guy I'd have as my captain. Yeah, guy on my side, I'd have him as my captain. Keep him close to you. Guy killed 800 guys with a spear. And then Eliezer. Now, Eliezer is a real, real unique guy. This guy, there's a battle going to take place, and Israel forsakes him. He's left alone. He's got to fight alone. Now, I don't know if you've ever felt like this, but actually, if you think about it, about every great trial you ever go through, you always feel alone. I do. I'm talking about a big trial. When it gets really tough, you feel. Actually, I've been through crises that I'd be in a room full of people and still felt all alone. Eliezer was all alone. And here come the enemy. Now, the Bible doesn't say how many he killed. I don't know if they couldn't count that many or what. But the Bible says that he's killing people. He's got a sword. He's fighting. He's killing people left and right. And as the day wears on, the Bible says, now this is in the Word of God, it says that his hand grew weary and he couldn't hold his sword. And so you know what God did? He froze his hand to the sword. The King James translation don't use the word froze, but that's exactly what happened. He froze his hand to the sword and he couldn't let go of it. Now he may want to surrender, see? He's thinking about surrendering. He's tired. He's wore out. He's been fighting all day by himself. Now he can't get rid of the thing. You know, I've been there. You know, I told you all that story one time where when I was in the Army, I was drafted, and I was laying in my bunk reading my Bible. I was on the second bunk, the upper bunk, and a guy walked up, and he was looking down at me. I'm on the second bunk. He's looking down at me. Everybody started gathering in because everybody likes to see. There's just something in people. They want to see blood, that is, as long as it's not theirs. And they want to see a good fight and blood. And they were fixing to see all that with me. And this guy looks down at me. And he was ugly. He was the kind of guy only a mama could love. Maybe that's what his problem was. And he says, "Bud," I said, "What?" I didn't say what. I didn't say anything. I just looked up. Well, I could see him through my you know, I could see him. I didn't look up. I had my Bible laying there, and he says, "What are you doing?" Now, I could have said something like, "Duh, what does it look like?" But, you know, this is not the time to get real cute.